Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Such a radio voice. Oh my gosh. Dave Solomon, everybody. Oh, so nice to hear him. Honestly, it's a beautiful day in Baltimore. And you know the expression, calm before the storm? Well, it could very well be like that, because we just got in the neighborhood a call from our electric service to say that things are going to be a little tricky tomorrow because there's supposed to be a big storm. I'm thinking of EC3. He's supposed to play at Blues Alley tomorrow night. And I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't want to dissuade anybody. I want to see EC and his band so much I can't even tell you. But it's just, you get into a frame of mind where spring is right there and you're so happy, you're so hopeful, and then bam. So if that's the case where you are, I feel you, as I can't even say. Today is First Tuesday. We have a call on the line. I'm so excited about that, and I'm going to get to that call, 205, by the way, momentarily. In the second hour of Hybrid Jazz today, it's Nate Najjar. What a gifted guitarist he is. No joke. Wait till you hear some tracks from the new CD. Let's proceed, shall we? 205 area code. You are live on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hello.
Hello, Trish. How are you? This is PJ Spraggins.
PJ, what a pleasure to hear you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am doing so well. Better now that I've heard your sweet little voice. What's going on with you?
Oh, none. I was just calling to talk to you. I saw that you posted on Facebook, I believe, a couple of days ago, where I guess independent artists could call in and talk about the things they have on tap and the music that they've done.
Absolutely. Please do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to let your listeners know that I do have a CD that just came out. My second CD came out February of last year, so not just came out, but it's still fresh, of course. And I got a lot of really cool people helping me out on it, including the great Gerald Albright, who's playing bass on a particular song, Grandma's Groove. And because of him, that song is really, really popular. And
awesome.
Not to mention Tracy Hamlin is singing a song on there and
oh,
doing
yeah.
background vocals on a couple of tracks. Eric Essex, a lot of other fabulous guys, Kelly O'Neill on saxophone, and it's just a really fun time that I had recording that with all those great people.
And I have to say that some of those folks that you have just alluded to gave suburban Baltimore a real show a few years ago when Tracy brought the cats in from Atlanta to play with her at this gig. Oh, my God, PJ.
That was
a
lot of fun.
Oh, it was just so awesome because we really needed to see that in Baltimore, how folks live in other places and how they know to handle their business. Man, it was...
It was fun coming up there and playing for you guys.
Oh,
really
I sure hope that happens again. I really
do.
I
do, too.
Well, we'll have to find you some gigs in the Washington area. I'm not sure what's happening with Baltimore, and I'm a little upset with Baltimore because they're not stepping up the way that they should. But things are happening in the region, you know, as far as D.C. and including Virginia and Philly are concerned. So let's focus on making sure that you and those excellent musicians that I have come to know and love so well are in full display in the Mid-Atlantic region.
We sure will. We'll do our best, and thank you for having an outlet for us to share our information with a broader audience. We really appreciate you, Trish.
Absolutely, PJ. And here's the thing. My laptop is kaput All my information, including your CD, is mm-hmm. on my laptop. Otherwise, I'd be playing a P.J. Spraggan song right now. But
yeah,
you know
I
what? I am getting a new laptop tonight. There is a Today's Special Value on QVC. It's kicking off tonight at midnight.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, they have it on Easy Pay and with Windows 8. And I'm going to get one of those. And then my great guy from On-Site Computers, a mom-and-pop place in the region, they're going to transfer all the information from the old laptop into the new.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's awesome.
So you can pick
it's
up
awesome.
Where you left off.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you called. I really appreciated the CD when it came out. I have fond memories. I've played a few tracks from it, and I'll continue to do that once I get a hold of my old laptop.
Okay, then. I really appreciate it, Trish.
Absolutely, PJ. Say hello to all the kin that I love so well there.
I sure will, and you have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, just so you know, 323-843-6172, in case you have access to folks who want to share information as far as their gigs are concerned or their new CDs, I always like to spread the word. Whether it be local or regionally, nationally or internationally, it's all good. And speaking of good, we're going to have a little guitar celebration for you in honor of the great guitarist Nate Najjar coming up next hour. This is something, you talk about a classic, this is from 1941. Up on Teddy's Hill, Charlie Christian and Friends on Hybrid Jazz. Yeah. first Tuesday on Hyper Jazz, and we are celebrating Charlie Christian. And there's a call that we're going to get to. 202 area code will be right there. Up on Teddy's Hill from After Hours, this was a Roots of Bebop jam with Dizzy Gillespie, Don Byas, Kenny Clarke, Monk, my gosh, at both Minton's Playhouse and Monroe's Uptown House, recorded in New York City at both of those places. Man, 1941 was the year that was just smoking. And, of course, we're doing that. So playing a guitar, especially from Charlie Christian and from all these greats that we have come to know through the years, especially in honor of Nate Najjar, who's going to be calling us next hour. 202 area code. Enter and sign in, please. Hello. Where are you? Let me get this microphone on. There you go. 202?
Yes.
Hello? Yes.
Yes, this is Ted Carpenter with Father's Children.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Great. What's going on with you?
Well, we're getting ready to drop our next CD. I heard you were going to be doing something about groups in the Washington metropolitan area. And so I hear you're the person to sort of reach out to, so that's what I'm doing.
Well, you are live, and we're anxious to hear what you have to say. I'm thrilled that you called. Just spread the word for us. What's going on?
Well, by the end of March, maybe at the latest, the first week in April, we'll be dropping our next CD. We, about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, we did a CD called Sky's the Limit.
Yeah.
And that was our first CD since 79, actually, because we had a deal with Mercury Records back then. And that CD was called, wasn't a CD, it was an album. It was called Father's Children. We were managed at the time by Forrest Hamilton. It was produced by Wayne Henderson of the Jazz Crusaders.
Oh, yeah.
That was in 79. And then, surprisingly, in 2011, June of 2011, the archival record label, the Numero Group, recovered some previously unreleased material that we had done over 30 years ago, and they released it on the Numero Group label, and that CD was titled Who's Going to Save the World. So,
wow.
You know, so we're excited about the prospect of coming out with some new material, and we've diversified things a bit, and so we want to, you know, let folks know it's about to drop pretty soon.
Oh, that's great news, Ted. Look, do me a favor. Keep in touch with me about this because, you know, you've got my interest piqued, and I want to keep this ongoing as to let folks know when the exact date will be. And it would just be wonderful if we could be in somewhat regular communication.
Oh, absolutely. I reached out to you on Facebook, but I'm not sure whether or not, yeah, I know you have two different folders. So it went in one of those folders.
Oh, wow. You know what?
Yeah.
I get so much mail from AOL.
I know you do.
Look, I have to say, it's been very, very good to me through the years because we've had it since the late 1990s. But much of the time, the mail I get goes right into spam, and I don't even see it.
Ah, well, you know, it would be helpful if perhaps maybe I could send you a couple of MP3s just to sort of give you a flavor of some of the things that we're doing. But interestingly, one of the songs that was on the album from 4 years ago has really caught on in the Chicago area. It's
wow.
With the stepping community. So it's like it was one of the number one requested songs in the stepping community. It's a song called If I. So maybe perhaps I can at least send that to you and, you know, perhaps, you know, you can give a listen and maybe share it with your listening audience.
I would love to have you do that, Ted. That's great. Thank you for suggesting that. And now I know, since you've said this, I'll go check on my other folder to see what other little treasures I haven't seen. Please do send that to me. And you have the address, right?
I don't think so. I think they just gave me the phone number.
You know what? I am just going to give you the email address so that everybody has it. That's fine with me. And I have to explain because it makes no sense if I just say it. It's short for Alternative Country Western Gal because that's what I used to do.
Okay.
So it's ALTCWGAL@AOL.com. You got it?
Okay, that's ALTER.
Oh, no.
ALTCW.
CW.
Okay.
GAL@AOL.com. Alternative Country Western Gal. Yes.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Got it.
Thank
okay,
you,
well,
Ted.
Listen, I will certainly send this to you today. It's been great chatting with you, Trish.
It's been great chatting with you too, Ted, and I'll let you know as soon as I can that I received it.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks much.
Thank you so much. We'll keep in touch.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yay. That's the way it rolls. First Tuesday on Hybrid Jazz. I actually did pump it up largely this time just because it's so needed. Now that we're in this new year, we really do have to make sure that folks know what everybody else is doing. So with that said, here's another call. 410 area code. Hello, this is Hybrid Jazz.
My name is Slimmy Bo Bimmy.
Oh, my God, look at you. I love you, Slim Manicotti.
I love you too, Trish. You know I do.
I know you do. How are you doing? What an unexpected pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine, my dear, all mine.
Okay.
You know it's true.
What's going on with you?
Right now I'm just delivering some pizzas. You know, that's my day job. So,
why did I think I was not going to get a straight answer? Okay.
Just, you know, got a couple of pepperonis I got to take out there. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. You know what? You got to handle the pepperoni with care. How many times have we discussed this?
Yes, you do.
You are
your pepperoni, and your pepperoni will take care of you.
That's right, because nobody else is going to take care of your pepperoni as well as you can.
That's right.
So I know you're calling because you got something going on, because you don't waste time frivolously.
Actually, Trish, I got nothing going on. I'm just calling you because I'm so lonely.
Well, it's your fault. You moved to Nashville.
Oh, no.
Oh, and how is that going, by the way? Is Nashville being good to you?
You know, it is, this town is on fire with a capital F. I'm telling you, there is more going on here than, it's just unbelievable. Sunday, get a call from a friend of mine, just legendary music biz exec, and he's like, come on down here to the Dan McGinnis Pub. They're shooting a television show. I go down there, and it's GAC, Great American Country, is doing a show with this group of 12 brothers and sisters. 12 brothers and sisters, and they all play guitars, mandolins, keyboards, drums, stand-up, bass, flutes, and they all sing like beautiful angels. And that's just one small little thing that's going on in this town, one of just hundreds of things that are just popping here in Nashville. There's just so much going on. You know, I was in the drum shop the other day, saw Chester Thompson. You know, it's just, you can't, you know what I mean? Everywhere you turn, just another great musician, another great band, another great venue, another great, you know, style. And it's not all, you know, boots and hats.
Oh, I know. And see, I really do know because I lived there twice. So, I mean, you could go anywhere and you could have an impromptu little jam session happening someplace. And somebody would show up in the audience and then that person is called up on stage. And that's the cool part about it, Slim, is because one genre sort of melts into another. You talk about a hybrid community. It's just not country or bluegrass, although the bluegrass stuff is really popping these days. Holy cow.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's Yes, it is. It's gaining a larger audience, and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, Alison Krauss and the Robert Plant thing, which was kind of took everybody by surprise. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, it's country, it's bluegrass. There's a lot of Americana stuff.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of country pop, a lot of, you know, country blues. There's a lot of, last Monday, a week ago, I saw this gal named Claire Dunn, Claredunn, Claire Dunn. This gal gets up there. She's in her early 20s. She's playing guitar like Bonnie Raitt. She's doing this country bluesy rock stuff. It's amazing. It was amazing.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, there's a lot of great stuff going on here. A lot of cool stuff. I like this town a whole lot.
Well, it is a good town for you because, you know, I was just expressing my frustration. I love Baltimore, but, you know, we have to get it together. We have to be known as a place where you can come into town and get ears to hear and get noticed.
Yeah.
You can go to Nashville or L.A., but Nashville is like little L.A.
It is, you know, but the cool thing about Nashville is that a lot of other towns don't have, is that there's a community here, and they kind of look out for each other, and they're helpful, and they're inclusive rather than being exclusive. You know, New York, L.A., they're exclusive. You know, they're exclusive towns. They got the red velvet rope up, and it's tough to get in. Nashville, it's like come on in. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. You know, people include you. Hey, you want to do a showcase? Hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do that? It's a very inclusive town, which is lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And
unless
and,
they're just, you know, unless they're just including me because you know, I look like I'm the mafia. They're afraid I'm going to kill myself.
Let me tell you something. There is a larger than usual interest in The Sopranos in Nashville because my friends still talk about that show as if it's still on. So,
yeah.
You look like one of the good-looking cousins from The Sopranos. So don't be surprised if interest is generated. And then you open your mouth and it's like, oh, sweet Mary, Mother of God, he's got a couple of things going on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just this town, you know, it doesn't have a whole lot of people like me here. When I was there at that thing with the GAC television show on Sunday, I mean, I met a lot of people. You know, the producer of the show, the executive producer of the show. I met some big wigs, and you know, after the showcase, my friend who introduced me to all these people are like, all those people want to know, where the hell did you come from? Who's that guy? You know, I just don't, you know, I guess I just don't kind of look like most of the folks here in Nashville, which I guess is a good thing. But
it's a good
Nashville's
thing.
Nashville's a great town. You know, Baltimore's a great town, too. You know, there's a lot of good things about Baltimore.
Oh, I absolutely know, yes. Oh, for sure. Well, hon, oh, my God. Yeah, we haven't spoken since then. How about that?
That was amazing.
That was
amazing.
It was something for the record books. I mean, the high. Oh, this town was like intoxicated for a few days. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know, and it was so strange for me to be watching it here in Nashville.
Right.
I had three guys over the house. One guy's name is Robert Knight. You should check out this photographer. He's done everybody from Hendrix to Led Zeppelin to Slash, everybody. He's hanging out. He's got a brand new book called Gods of Rock with all of his very famous photos.
Wow.
He was there. And then there was a guy who was a producer from Australia. He produced the Sick Puppies, which is a, you know, punk rock, you know, hard rock band. And he was there. And then there's this kid, this guitar playing kid, like 21 years old, Johnny Gooch, who just got the job with Shania Twain. And, and so I'm watching the Super Bowl with these guys, and they don't really have an interest in the game, you know, just as a passing, oh, it's the Super Bowl. And I'm like, you know, pacing the floor, jumping up and down, screaming. They're looking at me like, who is this maniac? Yeah, and then that last minute of that Super Bowl was just enough to make me, I don't know, give me a heart attack or something.
Oh, listen. Let me tell you something. And you know what? People can say what they want to say, but I am terribly proud of the fact that Joe Flacco is the highest paid quarterback in NFL.
I've always been a Flacco fan. I never understood how people could, you know, talk badly about him. He's done amazing things.
Yes.
You know, I think that the new offensive coordinator brought out the best in him. It was a strange move 4 weeks before the end of the season for the Ravens to bring in a new offensive coordinator, but it just opened the whole game. I think it'll open up his game a lot. And I think that it was great for him and great for the team and great for the city of Baltimore.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All the way around. I think that, you know, the Ravens, you know, they're making all the right moves. Now, if we could just get the music business to make all the right moves, like the Ravens make all the right moves, I think we'd, you know, we'd have our own little musical Super Bowl.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, Slim, because here's the deal. You are in the catbird seat right now being in Nashville, and here's why. Because folks in Nashville have money, and they will spend it on endeavors that are worthwhile. So there's a lot of creativity happening there, whereas here, as much as I love the town, and Philly, to a large degree, is also guilty of this, people drag their feet. They might have a lot of money, but they're not making use of it so it can propel music forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I know that people here have a vested interest in seeing the music business succeed. It is Music City, USA. So you do have a lot of people who are making the effort, not only the effort with money, but making the effort, you know, putting the emotional effort in, putting the time and the heart and soul into a business that is, you know, it's on the ropes, you know, and it's slowly coming back, but it's encouraging to be in an environment here in Nashville that seems to foster creativity, and they, you know, they want you to succeed, number one, and they want you to be good. I mean, their BS meter is way up. They don't like, you know, they don't like it when, you know, somebody's just a poser. They want the real deal. They want to see you play live, and they want to be impressed. And they're, you know, they're putting their hard-earned, you know, money and efforts down into a business that is, you know, that everybody knows is you know, really facing some challenges.
Well, it's good that you perceive, and I take you at your word because I trust your judgment. If you that was a mistake. if you perceive,
you're going on a limb there, Trish.
What was I thinking?
Really.
If you perceive that people will not tolerate mediocrity, then here's something. Then Nashville has changed. Because there was a lot of that BS happening when I lived there a few times. And I'm glad to hear you say that there is an insistence on the ring of truth.
Oh, well, the way this town is right now is if you don't have your stuff together, you are not going to get the time of day from anybody in this business. That because, and I think that it's just a matter of necessity, because nobody has the time or the money to invest in somebody who's posing, who's mediocre. And I have heard some music here, not only, you know, country, but jazz, you know, Americana, rock, blues. I've heard some ridiculously good stuff, and they're demos. You know what I mean? It's not like,
wow,
oh, that's a demo. You know, it's like, wow. You know, it's just the bar is really high, and it has to be, because they're not going to be investing their time and their money and their efforts and their hearts and souls into something that's not way up the ladder, and, you know, it's not on the top couple rungs of the totem pole. They don't want to deal with it. And you know what? It only takes them a little while. It's funny. I go to a lot of showcases here because there's a lot of talent here.
Yeah.
And, you know, showcases for every kind of music. I mean, there's avant-garde stuff here. You know, it's just amazing, all the different varieties of music here. And within 5 or 10 minutes, you can see all the industry people either staying or leaving. Do you know what I mean? They're like,
yes.
It's like within 5 or 10 minutes, you see the room start to empty out, or you see people sticking around. And that's, you know, that's a good thing, because I think that these days, with, you know, when you put the tools in the hands of anybody, and anybody can make a record, anybody can tune their vocal, anybody can make the drums sound in time, anybody can make everything sound good and polished, it's, you know, but it's hollow at the core. And these people down here, they've got a sense of what is real and who's faking, and they don't tolerate, they don't suffer the fakers. They move on, and they move on rather rapidly. And you only get a shot or two in this business, and there's been some, you know, there's been some great music coming out of this town,
and
you know, it's rightfully so.
What also is happening is that there have been some people who have been playing separately for a while, or who have had relationships with other people in the business, who are getting together and making new, fresh stuff, or getting older stuff that's been out there for a while and redoing it so that a whole new generation can hear. And case in point is Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I've heard that record, and it's really good. And I think that, you know, it's also a matter of, you know, economics. I hate to put it like that, but you put Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell on the same record, and all of a sudden your audience is increased by twofold. You know, if you put it out on tour, you know, people are going to go see Rodney Crowell are going to be there, and people are going to go see Emmylou Harris are going to be there. So you get a double, you know, you get a double bill, you get two for the price of one. Same thing with Alison Krauss and Robert Plant.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that a lot of that takes place because of, you know, the economics of the situation. You know, you got two guys on the bill, it's going to be a lot, just like in the jazz world. You know, you get, you know, the reason why those guys go out on tour with, you know, Mindy A. Bear and Jonathan Butler and Rick Braun, is because, you know, you got three people on the bill, it's going to be a lot more likely that you're going to be able to put some people in the seats than if you just had one person. So you get a lot of these kinds of, you know, duos and trios of big names, and there's a reason for that. And it's good for everybody. It's good for the music, it's good for the audience, it's good for the promoter, and it's good for the musicians themselves, because it's good. I mean, believe me, I know. You know, if someone came up to me and said, you know, do you want to do a tour with Marc Antoine? It'd be like, don't have to ask me twice, I'm there. So, I mean, it is a question of, yes, it's great to have Rodney Crowell and Emmylou Harris together. But if you look at the big picture, there's, you know, there are other reasons, and they're all important and good reasons. And, you know, I love those kinds of things.
I do, too. Anything that can propel us further with the notion that independent artists are worthy of listening to. And not only that, but if those independent artists get a record deal, then the record companies have to understand to keep the music that the independent artist popularized intact. It's so important to have respect for the artist these days, because as you said, Slim, there are so many people laboring over demos. Some of this stuff is way better than established artists have turned out for years.
Very true.
We really do have to have these outlets and these forums for people to get heard. It's crazy. I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a great town, and there are, you know, a lot of people that are considering moving here. You know, Marc Antoine, my good jazz guitar playing friend, is coming here at the end of the month, and I'm going to take him around for a week and show him houses and real estate and schools and stuff. And he's considering making a move from Madrid to Nashville. Of course, he's
going
to be a culture shock.
Hey, how you doing, y'all?
Yeah, right. He's going to be like, you know. the crazy Frenchman from Madrid is going to come to Nashville, and all of a sudden, you know, he'll be inundated with fried mac and cheese, and he won't know what the heck hit him, you know. But there are a lot of people moving into this town, and they're not all, you know, they're not all country music folks. And, you know, there's a new kind of burgeoning jazz market here. You know, it's very small right now, but at least it's growing, getting a little bit of, you know, a little bit of noise and a little bit of recognition, and that's a good thing.
Oh,
and,
yes, please. Let me know more about that. Please keep in touch with me about that.
Well, you know, Denny Gios is here, and Larry Carlton's here, and Michael McDonald's here, and Chester Thompson's here. You know, Mark Antoine is considering a move here. I mean, it's just, there's a big scene. And, I mean, it's a big scene for jazz. It's, you know, not a big scene like country music, but it's getting, you know, bigger, and it's getting a little more, you know, a little more recognition here in the, you know, local press and paper and stuff.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And I am getting some feedback from other folks in Nashville who are saying that the same thing. So, yeah, definitely. I need a trip down there to see what's going on, hon. I really do.
Yeah, it's an interesting town. There are all kinds of music being played here, all kinds. You know, I saw an avant-garde band playing about 2 weeks ago that was just really crazy, but really good, you know. And I saw a Canadian band that was doing another kind of avant-garde Americana country pop thing that was kind of hard to categorize. And these kids were great, and they're, you know, they're going out and they're playing, and people are booking them. And it's not, you know, your everyday kind of music, but, you know, God bless people who are coming out and at least giving people chances that didn't exist before, and in all styles of music. So,
well, and this is going to cause some controversy to say this, but it won't be the first time. At least you're not getting inundated with, first of all, cover bands, and secondly, tribute shows. There's creativity in the music. I don't care whether it's avant-garde or a hybrid punk metal mix, or if you want to combine jazz and bluegrass, which Bill Evans on saxophone has done so well with soulgrass. You know what? The creativity is everything.
Yeah, and they don't, you know, the emphasis in whatever style of music is going on here in Nashville is on originality. They don't want, you know, they don't want to see a tribute band. But I am thinking of starting a tribute band.
Really?
I'm going to do a Slim Man tribute band. I mean, I look just like him. I sound just like him.
You know what? That would go over well, because we like him.
I look like him. I sound like him.
You know what? You really do. In the immortal words of, was it Marisa Tomei, the Academy Award-winning actress who said, oh, yeah, you blend. You do not blend in Nashville. That is why you need to be there, because you are not walking into any venue with a cowboy hat on. You're just providing your little GQ self, and they're going, what the hell? What's he come from?
You ain't from around here, are you?
No,
I'm not.
Look, I want to be there when Mark Antoine gets his first. Can I sack it for you at the Piggly Wiggly?
Oh my goodness, I know. I know. It's going to be interesting to see Mark, who's, you know, one of the best jazz guitar players out there, especially with the nylon string. I mean, he's one of a handful in the whole world who's so incredibly talented, but he is the most, you know, he's a very European kind of guy. Wait till he gets here in Nashville and they, you know what I mean? They start like dishing him up some hot chicken and he's not going to know what to make. But I will tell you this, this is one of the friendliest places I've ever been.
Oh, I know. I hear you, because
I mean,
it's the
open
South.
Up their hearts and their homes, and it's wonderful.
It's the best of what the South can be, because there's, you know, genuine graciousness involved.
Yeah, everybody remembers your name. It's amazing. You know, I've gotten into the habit now, whenever I meet somebody, I got to repeat their name to myself like 20 times so I don't forget it, because when you leave, everybody says, oh, hi, Slim, it was great to meet you. And it's like, hey, man, what's your name again? You know what I mean? It's genuine. It's not this like kind of phony, baloney Hollywood horse crap. It's a genuine kind of friendliness. They look you in the eye and they shake your hand. They remember your name and they give you a friendly slap on the back when you leave the room.
Well, I don't remember everybody being genuine, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, you know, Trish, the people you were hanging out with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Those sketchy, crazy people. You go out with. I've seen your crew, Joy, and all those people. They're nuts.
And you know what? The crowd hasn't changed. We're all hanging out in Baltimore, laughing at you.
Yeah, I know.
I am so glad that you called. I really am. I'm just tickled. It warmed me to the very cockles of my heart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to my pepperoni.
There you go. Well, anything I can do for you, Trish, you know you're my gal.
Well, and you're my guy in Nashville now. I'm counting on you to make things happen.
Anytime you want to come down here, you just tell me and I'll put a place on the couch in the double wide for you, and you can just, you know what I mean?
Hey, if you got a double wide, I'm there next week, pal.
There you go. We'll trap some squirrel, make some squirrel head stew.
Cooking up the storm. As somebody used to say that I knew in the South, I'll cook you up a mess of fish.
There you go. That's here,
good.
Man. Yeah, catfish down here is a big thing.
Look, don't ever eat anything with a face, all right?
The cuisine down here is unique. Now, I'll say that. And
yes.
People, you know, tend to like it. But, you know, it's just, you know, I eat a different kind of food.
I know you do.
You know, I like my my Italian stuff. So, but
well,
look, if you do like catfish and stuff, this is the place to be.
Well, that idea of yours, don't think that I forgot. A couple of conversations ago, you were talking about this great idea, high atop one of those glorious little buildings in downtown Nashville, a Slim restaurant. And a Trish radio station.
I know. It'd be great. It'd be great to combine, a place to eat, a restaurant with some form of entertainment that's not just, somebody playing in the corner, but, something you can broadcast, whether it's television or radio or that kind of stuff, where you could actually make a show of it. And that's what we're going to do when you get down here.
All right, visualize that thing happening, and we'll talk more about that.
All right, hon.
All right, hon.
Well, let's keep in touch, and, all the best to you and your lovely listeners. And, I really appreciate you supporting the music, and you do such a great job, and you're such a great interviewer. And,
you
carry the flag, you carry the torch for this music, and I know we all do appreciate it.
Well, look, as long as I have quality music that comes from a Slim Man, I'm always going to be doing this because you were one of my inspirations to get this moving along,
Yeah, well, you are a dearie, and, once again, thank you for supporting the music, all the music.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for calling, and we'll be in better touch, I promise.
All right. Call me later, hon.
All right, hon.
Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao. Slim Man, everybody. Oh, that was so cool. I'm so tickled whenever I talk to him because he's always got something positive to say, and I'm always glad to hear what's going on. And again, I have to say that all of my music, I can't transfer the music from the old laptop. I'm on my son's desktop right now. But things are going to change next week. The new laptop will be here, and all the music will be transferred. If I knew ahead of time that Slim was going to call, I would have had something ready. But I'll have to play Dwight Sills instead. Oh, wow. We have to hear this from Easy in 1999, a little guitar work. And Nate Najjar will be with us in less than 15 minutes, by the way. Here's some more guitar, Dwight Sills on Hyper Jazz. call is waiting in the wings. 517 area code. We'll get to that call momentarily on First Tuesday. Got to tell you, that was Dwight Sills, my buddy, and Sliver Moon from Easy back in 1999. I just want to tell you, my heart leapt out of my chest when I saw the recent photos of the Soul Train cruise, because Dwight was playing with the newly bald George Duke. To see them both doing their thing, that would have been worth it to get on to the cruise. Seriously, they looked like they had a splendid time. And apparently, George had reintroduced to the crowd, which was packed. It was a sold-out cruise. He reintroduced the Sound of Philadelphia, the Soul Train theme. George had done his own arrangement of it, and he made the crowd go crazy with it. So I'm not going to miss it next time. Gosh darn it. Dwight Sills right there, 517 on First Tuesday. Enter and sign in, please. Hello?
Hey, Trish, how are you?
Hi, who is this?
This is saxophonist Phil Denny calling in.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm good, from Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, I know so well. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm almost scared to ask you what's going on.
Well, right now we've got sun, but if the weather pattern comes this way from Chicago, we may get, I don't know, half a foot or more of snow. We'll see what happens.
Well, look, guess what? We may get some in Baltimore, D.C., more than you get in Michigan tomorrow.
Yeah, kind of crazy. It's been a crazy winter.
Oh, it has. But you're doing so well. I mean, you've got so much on your plate. Are you, like, trying to spin the plates in the air at this point, or what?
No. It may appear that way sometimes, but things are good and they're manageable right now. Just, you know, like most of us, just trying to make moves where we can and keep busy, keep our names out there, and keep playing.
Absolutely. Well, you're truly making a name for yourself, and I'm just so glad to hear, because, you know, it's so needed to have in jazz circles, no matter which direction you want to go in jazz, to have somebody breathe new life into the genre, and you're doing just that.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to say.
Absolutely.
And I just reached out to you on Facebook, too. I was surprised to learn that we hadn't connected there yet. And maybe you have a new page, I'm not sure, but I thought we had connected in the past.
Well, you know what? You are right.
Request.
And I'm going to get to that, because I just saw that now. But we are connected on the other page that I have. I could not call my other page Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, so I had to call it Hennessy Hybrid Jazz.
Gotcha. Okay.
And we are connected now.
There.
Yes. Actually, when I was on Cool Jazz Conversations, Joy and I talked
to you.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
I know you do, because that's that's part of your success, Phil. You remember things that are really customer service oriented. That's good for you.
Well, thank you. Maybe that has something to do with my business background.
Yes.
But either that, or I can compliment my mom for a good upbringing.
Well, that's always nice to hear on this show. Thank you so much for that. Being a mom, I appreciate that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, tell us what's going on next time. Where are you going to be playing, and how can folks get a hold of you or your CD?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited. You know, this April kind of kicks off what I would consider like a mini tour for me. I'm excited to be performing outside of my home state of Michigan. I'll be traveling to first making a stop in Reno at the Nugget to do their jazz night in mid-April. And then from there, I'll be heading to the Arizona Jazz Festival for my debut in Arizona. I'll be performing with Andre Delano and Jeanette Harris. The three of us will share an hour slot at the Arizona Jazz Festival on Sunday the 14th, I believe is the date. And then from there, I head to the Newport Beach area to Seal Beach, to Spagatini's. I have my debut there on April 20th, and I'm
wonderful.
Really excited about that.
Yeah.
Seats appear to be selling well there, so the fan support is is active out in California. So that was good to see. And then, you know, hopefully I can do some networking while I'm out there. I'm going to just kind of enjoy the time, take a couple extra days maybe to meet a few people and network and, you know, share the music and just have a good time. So that's kind of what's up right now. I've got a lot of other things kind of happening here back home. And, you know, more information can always be found on the website, which is PhilDenny.com.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's all good news. Yay, Phil.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh,
thank you very much.
It's great. And we'll have to talk about one of these days, you off the road, having a little bit of time here, so maybe you can hang out for an hour and we'll play a few tracks and we'll talk about more good news coming your way.
That'd be great. Yeah, the album Crossover is doing well right now. We've just recently released the second single to radio, Traffic Jam, and that's doing very well, and certainly want to thank you and a host of other people for sharing the music.
It's, you know what, it's honest to goodness a pleasure, and I know that wonderful things. This is going to be a good year for you as you see more magic unfold, so the best of everything to you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for doing your show. It's a pleasure to call in today.
Absolutely, Phil. We'll talk more.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you have a wonderful day.
Okay, I'll be listening.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Hybrid Jazz, and it's first Tuesday, and I'm just going to take a chance here, and I'm going to grab on to this particular number, 727 area code, and Najar is scheduled to be with us at any second, so we'll see if we can do this call quickly. Hello, who is this?
Hey, it's
Hello?
Nate Najar.
Hey, Nate, it's
hey,
you, yay!
How are you?
Oh, how are you? Look, you know what? I had no idea that this was going to be such a productive first hour. I told you that first Tuesday of every month is an opportunity for folks to call in. So not recognizing this particular area code, I didn't know that it was you. So let me give you a proper introduction. Everybody who is listening today or in the archives, this is one of these gentlemen. We heard Slim Man say a little while ago talking about Marc Antoine and the fact that Marc Antoine is known in many circles around the world as being so proficient on nylon string. This gentleman here has been making inroads for years with those glorious nylon strings, and I've been in love with Nate's work so much because of the passion that he allows himself to have, and the absolute mystery that he creates when he plays, so much so that when I just received the CD in the mail the other day, which we're going to hear a few tracks from, and once you hear a couple of tracks from Blues for Night People, you'll go, what? And you'll want to buy it. One of the first tracks I heard, I cried like I hadn't cried for a few days. I cry anyway, but when Nate Najar does something to you, he does it permanently. With that, I give you the amazing Nate.
Hi, Trish.
Hi, Nate.
that was quite an introduction.
You know what? You deserve that and more. You are just so sincere in how you immortalize different kinds of people who have gone before. It's always a big thing here. When you honor those who have paved the way and then you interject something new into the music mix, it's worth everything to hear.
Oh, well, thanks. I just appreciate the inclusion and the fact that I get to keep doing what I do. I'm really grateful that I've been able to move into a spot where I'm really doing absolutely what I love. You know, musically, I don't feel compromised at all musically. And so far, people are responding nicely. I love your response. Any response is a good response, though.
Oh, and you're going to get a whole lot more. But there's something in the way that you play that is just and lately there's been a lot of guitarists here on the show. It just seems to be gravitating that way. So many people have so many different styles. But, you know, you have a really interesting background because you certainly did your share of study, but you gravitated to a few guitarists early on. And you really, you immersed yourself in their work. And, of course, I'm talking about Charlie Byrd as one of them. You, there are many people who are artists who are dilettantes in that there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that involved in their work. But you consume yourself as far as your guitar mastery is concerned, and it shows on this CD. It's really wonderful.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And you're so young, too. I can't get over how young you are. You've done a lot.
Well, my hairline betrays me.
I'm not going to go there. You said that. You have done such a lot of work in a short space of time. You really have.
Yeah, well, I am. I do keep working because what happens is when you don't have a lot going on in one spot, you can't just sit still and wish you had something to do. You just have to move into something else, you know, whether it be start arranging for another record or maybe think about another project or, you know, so anytime the gigs are light, you know, you still have to stay involved, you know, whether it's, you know, learn some new repertoire or work on some new stuff or technical study or any number of things. So it keeps everything fresh.
Well, there's a couple of gigs that certainly caught my eye when I went to catch up with you on your page on Facebook. First of all, I told my friend Kathy in Naples, Florida, that you're going to be coming to the Wine and Jazz Festival there. That's pretty exciting.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I just found out about that. I understand it's the first time they're doing this, and it looks like a really nice event. It looks like a really nice event, and it's a great lineup of pretty much all jazz artists. And so we're going to have a real good time doing that.
That's awesome.
And the weather should be beautiful. You know, outdoors in March in Florida, the weather should be fabulous.
Oh, how well I know. After having lived in Port St. Lucie for a few years, I remember the weather in March. Oh, yeah. And then you're coming to Rock Hall in Maryland, which is why it was so timely for you to do the show today.
Oh, I love Maryland. I consider like D.C., Baltimore, Annapolis, I consider that my second home. I absolutely love Maryland. I love the audiences. I love the musicians. I love the people. I love the topography. I love the climate. I love Maryland.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm really looking forward to coming up. Looking forward to coming up.
Well, God knows people in Maryland love you, and you've got this long history, and part of that history involves the fact that you revere Charlie Byrd so much. Charlie was born in Virginia, but he spent his time in Maryland, and he held court at a few different places in Maryland. He's got a long history with this state, and we just eat him up. Anything that has a Charlie Byrd connotation in Maryland, we just love. So you fit into that love by default, so we love you.
I love you, too.
Oh, God, thank you so much. Oh, I haven't heard that from a man for a long time. Thank you. So about the album, You Rascal, you have our friends Chuck Redd and Tommy Cecil on this album with you. Tell us, you have this glorious association and friendship with those guys.
Yeah, that's I'm fortunate because at my young, tender age, I have the I said that tongue-in-cheek, by the way.
I know.
I have the greatest I have the greatest band I could ever ask for. Those two, individually, they're incredibly accomplished musicians. And together, they are one of the finest, most sympathetic jazz rhythm sections you could ever, ever imagine. I mean, it is, and especially when we do a couple of nights in a row together, it's it really becomes magical because you don't know what is going to happen. It really, it becomes so much fun. It's the only way I can put it. It just becomes so much fun. You know, the playfulness that we have on the bandstand. It's really been quite good. So I actually consider that my working trio, even though I work with different guys in Florida, although Chuck comes to Florida quite a bit, thankfully. But regularly, I work with some different people in Florida. But generally speaking, Chuck, Red, and Tommy Cecil, and myself, that is what you would call the Nate Najjar trio.
It's so beautiful to hear the interplay of what you guys do. It threw me back because, see, I remember when Jazz Samba first came out. I was a little girl, but we had a wonderful station in Philadelphia, WIP, that played all of these beautiful sounds. And, of course, when this Brazilian craze hit, it hit big in Philly because we were hungry. You know, Philadelphia is a pretty sophisticated music town, so these disc jockeys were able to program their own shows. And we heard these beautiful sounds as interpreted by Charlie Bird and Stan Getz, and it just made us want to hear more about Charlie Bird. When I heard the new CD from you and Tommy and Chuck, it threw me back to the 60s.
My job is complete here.
Honestly, you've got it. And Becky Bird said it. She said it in the liner notes of the album. I'll have to get it, what the exact quote was. But the meat and potatoes of it was, there's some Charlie in you. And
well, you know,
go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say it's interesting because I never set out to copy Charlie, but
of
I really just I love the approach of playing on the acoustic guitar with the fingers. It's kind of interesting because Charlie approached it having, you know, real strict classical training. Charlie, after being a jazz guitarist for a number of years, when he realized he survived the Great War, I guess the Second Great War, but there's nothing great about war. He went and studied classical guitar with Sophocles Pappas in Washington D.C., and he approached the the classical guitar is it's a miniature orchestra. It's an orchestra in your hands, and any classical guitarist or any composer who writes for the guitar will tell you that. So he approached the jazz trio from the classical guitar. And I actually approach it a little different because I also came from originally having interest in jazz. And my interest in classical music has stemmed from my playing this instrument and trying to use it to the greatest ability and effect that, you know, that you can with the instrument. But I came to it looking at it like a piano. I'm not a piano player. It's too late to start playing the piano, so I'll just try to start playing things on the guitar the way piano players play. The piano is also an orchestra unto itself. So there's the similarities between that and the guitar. And when you think about jazz, and you think about jazz musicians, there's an absolute lineage with every instrument. You know, with the trumpet, we start with Louis Armstrong, and we got guys like Bix Beiderbecke, and then we've got Roy Eldridge, and then we get Diz, and then we get Miles, and we get Freddie Hubbard. There's a lineage, and you can track the progression of the instrument and the evolution of the use of that instrument in the jazz group. With piano, you've got Willie the Lion Smith and James P. Johnson and Duke Ellington. And then you move in Art Tatum and Oscar Peterson, and then you get Wynton Kelly, Bill Evans, and it just Chick Corea, and you see the evolution. The guys like today, Jackie Tarasson, Brad Meldow. With the guitar, we have a progression. You know, it really starts with Carl Kress, Eddie Lang, Dick McDonough, Django Reinhardt, Les Paul, Charlie Christian, and then we get guys like Tal Farlow and Barney Kessel and Herb Ellis, and then Wes Montgomery, Jim Hall, Pat Metheny, Jonathan Kreisberg. I guess you just had him on.
Yes.
You know, so there's an evolution and a lineage and a progression. Well, the nylon string, the acoustic guitar, there's a handful of guys out there now who are playing jazz on the nylon string guitar using either the fingerstyle technique or classical technique, which one is the same as the other, but the other isn't the same as the, you know, it's like a square and a rectangle. But they don't have as much recognition as they should. I don't think any of us have as much recognition as we would like to have. But there's a few guys out there who I wish were really much better known because of how well they do what they do. But the using the nylon string guitar with the jazz group, there's no real progression. Charlie was the first to do it. Lorindo Almeida was a contemporary of Charlie's, and he didn't really play jazz, but he did some jazz-type things, and he and Charlie worked a lot together. And Lenny Bro did a little bit of that stuff, but it's really a different thing, so it doesn't really count, and also a lot of his stuff was solo. So to use the guitar in the group, there's no lineage. You know, a lot of guys who pick up the nylon string guitar, they just play it like, you know, they use a pick, and they play it like they're playing the electric guitar, and it just gives a different sound. This whole diatribe I've just given, because I know I like to talk too much. But
it's wonderful.
The whole point of it is that Charlie is the man. You know, he's the guy. You listen to, and that's the, and what he does is so elegant, and including how, you know, I've heard a lot of musicians, mainly amateur musicians or up and coming. I've heard a lot of guys knock Charlie for being too quote unquote simplistic or not being hip enough. But the only thing I hear when I hear him play is I hear an elegance in the simplicity of some of the things. I mean, really, I've said this before, and I really, really mean this. When he plays something, it always sounds like that's the right way to do it.
Mm.
And if you play it more hip or if you do it some other way, it just doesn't sound right. And when I hear him do it, it just sounds like the right way to do it. And then the other thing is Charlie, when he was growing up and he was starting to learn how to play, you know, his father had a general store down in Chuckatuck, Virginia. And
I love that.
So Charlie heard a lot of blues music on the radio. He met a lot of guys coming through town and coming through the store. And he has such a great blues feeling because it's really a part of his upbringing. And that's one thing that is, I mean, you'll hear Wynton Marsalis talk about that being one of the most important components of jazz music is the strong blues feeling. And that's one thing that a lot of guys coming up these days, they don't get a lot of because of the nature of, you know, sociological and cultural and economic changes in the world. A lot of the academic jazz students they're missing a lot of this blues feeling that Charlie just had so naturally.
Yes.
So he's the man, you know, he's the daddy. You go to him and that's what you got. And anything you do is going to come off of that.
And Nate, it's really interesting what you have just said. Oh my God, you really know your history and you love it. And that's what maybe one of those special components of why you love Charlie so much. It just seems to me that he relished playing so much. You know, he cut such a wide swath as far as different kinds of songs that he played through the years and kind of made them his own. He would delve into pop. He delved into classical. There's a Duke Ellington song, This Is the One That Made Me Cry. We're going to play this momentarily, that you did on the new CD. And because of what you've just said, in conjunction with what I just said, because he learned the blues, it was just part of his immersion environment that he had growing up. There is a sense of longing. It's a longing in his playing that always got me. And you must have picked that up because, honestly, you sense that longing and you're able to convey your own. So it becomes a completely different experience when you're listening to you. You hear the echoes of the past, and your ears pick up something. It's what I like to call that train thing. When I hear a train, it makes my mind catapult into some place where I don't know where I'm going. I'm thinking, where are those people going on the train? Why am I not on the train? They're going someplace that I want to be. It made me think of all of that. And if Charlie was still here, he'd be weeping over this.
Well, I like to think that he would at least be proud of it, or he would like it. But from what I've been told from people who are close to him, they think that he would have enjoyed it. So that's the best I can ask. That's the best I can ask for. You know, if I'm paying tribute to someone as important as him to me, you know, it's as long as it seems like he would have been pleased, then my job is done.
Well, you did a sizable job on these ears, and we're going to play two tracks while I have you with me this hour. But there's a few, actually there's four songs, because again, I could not choose. We're definitely going to do this one first, because someone to light up my life is just, it means a lot to different kinds of folks. Why did you include this particular one on the album?
Well, you know, Charlie is so heavily associated with the bossa nova.
And
with Antonio Carlos Jobim in particular. And, you know, when a lot of jazz artists, and of course I'm not speaking for everyone, I'm speaking very generally, but when a lot of jazz artists decide to record a bossa nova tune or an Antonio Carlos Jobim tune, they tend to pick out of the same five or six tunes. And then if someone's feeling really adventurous, they'll pick a maybe less overdone tune, but a lot of guys still pick the same of the less overdone tunes. So it's the same small repertoire. And while this tune's been done a few times, it hasn't been done that much. There's not a whole lot of examples of jazz musicians doing this tune. And Charlie used to do this when the great guitars would go out. That was Charlie and Barney Kessel and Herb Ellis. The great guitars used to go out and tour all over the world. They would do a lot of numbers with the entire ensemble, and then each one would do like a trio number, like, you know, just them with the rhythm section. And then they would break off. Herb and Barney would do something together. Charlie and Herb would do something together, and that sort of thing. And Charlie and Herb used to play Someone to Light Up My Life together. And Barney would go sit down, and it would just be the two of them in the rhythm section. They would do this tune. And I played it a few times, and the first time I ever heard it was actually from Charlie doing it. I didn't have it planned to be on this record. I was going to do a different tune, a Bajan Powell thing. And Becky, Charlie's wife, she said, "Nate, I would really love it if you would play Someone to Light Up My Life on your Charlie Byrd tribute record." And when she asked, absolutely, Becky, I would love to. And I had played it before. I put it away for a few years, but I had played it, you know, a few years ago for a while. And so when I pulled it back out, I kind of changed it around a little bit and tried to do something nice with it. So there it is.
Well, this is the longing I'm talking about in this particular song. This is the first one on the CD, which is Blues for Night People, that made me sit up, take attention, and cry. Nate Najjar is with us, and I'm just so tickled. He has put forth this really wonderful project in honor of Charlie Byrd. This is Someone to Light Up My Life on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. don't want to be bold, but I will be, you know, for those folks who are office types and they're going home for lunch, feel free to make this show a little bit of afternoon delight for you, okay? Because that song will do it there for you. Oh, Nate Najjar. Blues for Night People, the Nate Najjar Trio remembers Charlie Bird. That was Someone to Light Up My Life. No joke. You, Nate, are going to be providing quite a soundtrack for folks who are into new romance.
I hope so.
That's my boy! No.
I hope so.
Just really beautiful, and I'm so tickled that you had the choices that you made for the CD. I am curious about, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I asked my son who took French, Si tu vois ma mère?
Better than I should have done it.
Well,
better than I could have said it.
Well, bless your heart. I was taken because this is a this is actually, and I know why you in general picked it, because certainly it's something that Charlie covered, but it's a Sidney Bechet song, and that was John Coltrane's inspiration.
Well, Sidney was one of the first guys to, I think he was the first guy to say, screw this, I'm playing the soprano saxophone and you're going to like it.
I love that.
And so, you know, it's it gave Train some good currency when he decided that he wanted to. Of course, Train sounds wonderful on the soprano. It's a very nice sound. But you know, if you listen to Sidney Bechet and you listen to that wide vibrato and that real thick kind of pretty but raw edge at the same time tone that Bechet got, then listen to Johnny Hodges on alto. And I tell you what, you can hear where Johnny Hodges got a lot of that from. So that's kind of neat with that. But no, this tune here, I just love this tune. It's probably one of my favorite songs ever. Si tu vois ma mère. It means if you've seen my mother. And I think there was an English lyric at some point, and the English title that went with that lyric was called Lonesome. And I love this song. It just has such a reverie to it. It is such a pure melody. It's the kind of tune that all you want to do is not mess it up.
I love it. And usually I don't do songs so closely back to back, but I'm just so hungry for people to hear. We've got a pretty cool chat room today, and Griselda in Texas has mentioned that she really enjoyed Someone to Light Up My Life, and this is a different sort of feel because Chuck is doing vibes on this song.
Yeah, Chuck is such a wonderful vibes player, so I always try to feature that as much as I can while still not losing sight of the, you know, I love the guitar, bass, drums trio. I love it. But Chuck and I have quite a nice rapport on the vibes and guitar, and so we do try to feature that as much as I can.
Well, I'm just going to play this now, and then I'll wait a little bit because I'm saving a particular song for the end, and you probably know which one that is. But for now, this is just one of those amazing songs that Nate and his exquisite team members on this project, that the Nate Najjar Trio, Remembers Charlie Bird, Blues for Night People, have put together. It's as if they were of a single voice when they did this song, which is Si tu vois ma mère on Hyper Jazz. Thank you. somebody in the chat room is crying. I hope you're satisfied, Nate Najjar.
That song makes me cry every time I hear it.
Seriously?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I'm a sensitive type.
Oh, that's what I've heard. Bless your little heart. That really is just superb. Si tu vois ma mère, have you seen my mother? And a few of us in the chat room relate to that so much because we've all lost our mothers, and we know that if mom was here, she would have just enjoyed that song so much. There's a lot of love you can feel, and the vibes add so much when they're up against that beautiful guitar of yours. And by the way, let's make mention, you were playing Charlie Bird's 1974 Ramirez guitar, were you not?
I was. I played Charlie's guitar.
Wow.
And I love that. I love that Ramirez. It has such a... Well, that was made by in the shop of Jose Ramirez III. And the Ramirez guitars today are wonderful guitars. They're absolutely wonderful. But the Jose Ramirez III, 2 and 3, their shops were just absolutely just incredible, the guitars that they were putting out in terms of the way they sounded. But the thing about the Ramirez is it has a very particular sound. It's very moody. And like if I just sat in front of you with the instrument, you heard just the sound of the instrument, even just playing a couple of chords or a little melody here and there, you can hear how the character of the sound, it's real dark and emotional. It's wild how these guitars sound. And from a sound perspective, this particular instrument has all of those qualities in spades. Unfortunately, from about this time period, guitars from that Ramirez shop are known to be particularly difficult to play.
Mm.
They made them with extra large necks. The neck is longer, it's thicker, and the strings are so high off the fingerboard on this particular guitar, you could drive a truck underneath them. Now, normally on a classical guitar, the way you would lower the height of the strings is by shaving down the height of the saddle. The saddle is the part on the bridge where the strings go over. Problem with this guitar is that the saddle is absolutely as low as it will go, and the strings are that high. The only way to play it is to put the lightest strings on it you can, and you still have to, with your left hand, you have to push down, I mean, as hard as you possibly can, because you got a long distance to go to fret the notes. That guitar is impossible to play. It's impossible to play. But it's just it sounds ridiculous. It is so gorgeous sounding, and it's a Canon. I mean, you can't believe how loud this guitar is.
Really,
which is nice, you know, because as a an acoustic guitarist, I mean, we're always fighting for volume. You can use the amp only so much. You still need the instrument itself to make a sound. So it's a wonderful guitar. I'm so grateful to Becky, you know, that she lets me use it. It was her idea that I played his guitar on the record. And, if I've got a concert or something where I'd like to use it, she lets me use it. And I'm grateful for that. It's a great box.
Well, Becky does believe in you so much because she says there is no doubt that there is a piece of Charlie's soul in Nate's mind, heart, and fingers. If that's not a ringing endorsement, I've never seen one.
Yeah, that was really kind of her to say that. Of course, I'm very grateful. She seemed to really like the record. So I'm if she's happy, then I did something right.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, for folks who are anticipating the album Blues for Night People, it's just so cool because Nate, you made it a point to include all of what Charlie Bird did. Ballads and bossa nova and swingier stuff and classic hybrids. Hey, I'm just going to make sure I use that word as much as possible. All of that was in here. It's just really a cool mix of different kinds of tunes. when I was playing the song right there, honestly, I felt like I was in the hot club in Paris. Man, it just has such I know that you have called Charlie what he did elegant simplicity, and that's a beautiful thing. But what you do, and you're a Florida-based guy, you have I don't know what you've done. You've conjured some sort of European sensibility to your playing, and it cuts such a global path. There's going to be something for everybody on the CD, which is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Well, I hope so. You know, what's interesting about the record is that if I wasn't making a Charlie Byrd tribute, the record probably would have been very similar anyway, which is... you know, I probably would have picked a lot of the same tunes, or at least the same kind of, you know, this is stuff that we play on, you know, for a Blues Alley. This is the stuff we're playing. This is, it's what I do. I made it a point. I generally make it a point anyway. You know, I do things my own way. There's only one song on the entire record where I played it the way Charlie played it. And I did that on purpose. That's the Gershwin thing, Who Cares? The original recording, it was on a record called Mr. Guitar, and Bertel Knox is the drummer on it. Peter Betts is playing bass, and Bertel takes this drum solo on it. It's just pretty. Bertel's he's a damn good brush player. Still, I did a gig with him about, I guess it's probably been about 3 or 4 years now. I did a gig out in on Eastern at the Mainstay, actually, with Bertel a couple of years ago, and he's still a damn good brush player. But so he does this. It's like a stupid upstairs tempo, and so I used that same kind of arrangement so to feature Chuck on the brushes when we did that tune. But other than that, you know, everything, even, you know, Blues for Night People, Charlie's tune, I did everything my way, just as if I do things. So the record didn't turn out much different than it would have been if I was just making an 8 Major Trio record. It just so happens that I really owe most of what I do to Charlie Byrd.
Well, and that's a beautiful thing. But let me tell you something. You have put your own spin onto to so much. I mean, I've been following you now for a few years, and I'm curious. This is going to generate, as it has, a big buzz, and it's only going to get better from here. What would you like to see now? When this is said and done, you're doing quite a bit of touring on behalf of this CD. Do you find yourself being the kind of artist that once you have done a particular project, before it's even done, you're thinking about what I'm going to do next?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, once a record is done, I don't want to hear it again, to be honest. You know, you think about the kinds of gigs that we do, you know, if we're playing at Blues Alley, or if we're playing at the Mainstay, or if we're playing at a, you know, concert hall, you know, I'm not playing the same 8 tunes in the same order every night. We just start playing, you know, and even when we play at Blues Alley, for instance, you know, we don't even write set lists. We just start playing.
Really?
Actually, I'll tell you a real funny story about that, a nice Charlie Byrd thing, is... you know, Chuck Redd was Charlie's drummer for the last 20 years of Charlie's life.
Yes.
And during that time, Charlie's brother Joe was the regular bass player in the band. And I'm going to say something else about Joe in a minute. But with regard to this story, you know, occasionally Joe couldn't do a date. He had something else he was doing, or he didn't feel like doing it. There were any number of reasons why Joe would miss a date. And Tommy Cecil was the first bass player that Charlie asked for if Joe couldn't do a date. So Tommy worked with Charlie quite a bit. And there was a period of about a couple of weeks, and this was during Charlie held court for a long time in Annapolis at a place called the King of France Tavern.
Oh, yeah.
Which was in the Maryland Inn. And it's a Starbucks now.
Is it really?
I was in there a couple of months ago, and at least they've got pictures of Charlie and Joe all over the place, so I don't feel too bad. But yeah, it's Starbucks now. But so Charlie held court at the Maryland Inn for a long time, and Tommy Cecil did a few weeks with them. He was filling for Joe for a few weeks. And Charlie would open every night with Crazy Rhythm by George Gershwin. And it was just, it was a tune that he was playing a lot lately, so he was playing this tune a lot. And on one of the nights on a weekend at the King of France Tavern, Tommy turns to Chuck and he says, I bet you he's going to call it Crazy Rhythm. And Charlie had this sixth sense about him. And plus, he probably overheard something. So Tommy, what Tommy said was, I bet you he opens with Crazy Rhythm. If he doesn't, I'll buy you a cognac. If he does, you buy me one. And so Charlie comes over and he sits down, and they're gonna start the first set. And Charlie calls like Shiny Stockings or something like that. So they played Shiny Stockings. And when they were finished with the tune, Charlie turns around and he says to Tommy, "You owe him a cognac."
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So it gets better. So Chuck told me this story. Just, you know, I love hanging out with Chuck because he just, you know, he thinks I've heard all of his stories, but I really haven't. Because I always hear new ones. So Chuck told me this story. This is about 2, maybe 3 years ago. We were doing a little run. We were playing in Annapolis and Washington and Baltimore. We did about 4 or 5 nights in a row. And Chuck had told me this. And so just as a joke, you know, no, I mean, this thing with Charlie happened at least 20 years ago, okay? And so Chuck told me this. And so we're doing this. So I start every night of the run with Crazy Rhythm. And I remember we were at the mainstay the first night. We were at the mainstay out in Rock Hall, Maryland. And I just, you know, I sat down and, okay, what are we doing? I said, Crazy Rhythm, F. And I started counting it off. And Tommy just burst into laughter. You know, it didn't take anything to remember that. It just immediately, he knew what I was doing. And it was hysterical.
Oh,
and for the
bless your heart.
For the rest of the run, I did it, except the last night. We were at Blues Alley the very last night, and I called something else. I might have been, I don't know what it was, but I called something, and he, because he was expecting me to do Crazy Rhythm, and he laughed when in. So it was that little inside playful thing. But the point was, yeah, we don't, we don't plan. I mean, maybe I'll think, oh, what am I going to do for the first tune? But even then, sometimes I'll call the first tune, and then I'll, never mind, I'll start doing something else. It depends what the crowd's doing. It depends how we're feeling. And we can go any direction. And especially with this band, we can go any direction. I play two notes, and they know what I'm doing. It's incredible.
Oh, my God. That Nate, that is worth gold. I mean, you can't buy that. Man.
It really is worth gold. It's really wonderful. You know, they just they're so sympathetic. And it makes me play better. They also push me. They really push me. So it's a working trio, and it feels like a working trio. You know, we do well together as a three piece. It's not one guy playing on top of a rhythm section. It's three guys making music together.
It's actually the equivalent to a good marriage, because in order to have a good marriage, you have to have mutual respect. And there's obviously so much of that from Tommy and from Chuck to you, and you certainly to them. You all pay attention to one another. Everything that you do is important. Nothing is dismissed. So when you all are on the same page in regard to that, you are so in tune to one another because you all want to make one another shine. It's beautiful.
That's what we're there for. You know, we're not there to compete with each other, and we're not there to do anything esoteric to the audience. We're there to have a conversation and with each other and with the audience. That's what we're there for. Otherwise, we should stay home.
You said it. And this is what's going to be so cool if folks are in the area or can make it a point to come to the mainstay in Rock Hall on the 9th. Which is Saturday, this coming Saturday. It's not only the Nate Najjar Trio in concert, it's a CD release concert celebrating Blues for Night People. So this is going to be really special. How many folks does the mainstay hold, would you say, Nate?
I think probably somewhere around 150, maybe 200.
Good. That's
nice.
I
could be wrong on that. Yeah,
well,
I could be wrong on that, but somewhere around there. That sounds about right.
Yeah. It's really nice to see your gigs lining up, because the next night you're going to be in Washington, Virginia, at the Theater at Washington, Virginia. And then you're going to do some Florida gigs. And I'm fast-forwarding your upcoming shows. You're going to be back in the area in the fall, which is always awesome. Whenever you play Blues Alley, that's always a big treat, too. Woohoo!
That's my favorite room in the world to play. I mean, I haven't played every room, but I can't imagine anywhere being a better place to play than that. I love the way it sounds. I love the way it feels. It's the right size. It's the Blues Alley is my absolute favorite room, period.
And
so
I'm
grateful that I get a chance to do it.
Oh, I am too. It's always cool. There's always a little bit of buzz when you come back into the D.C. area when you're playing there. And for folks who are not familiar, I shouldn't say this, but it lends itself to so much color when I talk about this. Blues Alley is one of those places you have to go with somebody for the first time in order to get there, because you got to find it. It's literally...
You have to find it.
You have to find it. It's in an alley, and, it's in Georgetown, that part of D.C. So for some of us who are coming from outside, from Baltimore, we have to go into Virginia and then backtrack to get into Georgetown. Now, here's the cool thing. Blues Alley is world known. It's prestigious. But here's what you got to know. You're parking the car. You have to mosey down the alley. And you have to be careful of the rats in the alley. Because they're just part of the territory.
I don't think I've ever seen a rat in the alley. I only ever play there in the winter time or the early spring. So, maybe they're still hiding or in hibernation or something. I've never seen a rat in the alley.
I have, and they have their own separate zip code. They're pretty big. it's just part of the landscape. It's a really cool thing. And actually, those of us who go regularly look forward to it. It's crazy. But it just, these beautiful clubs that are in different parts of the United States have their own colorful and checkered history. There are so many stories about what has come out of Blues Alley. Oh, my God. Nate, you could write your own stories.
It's certainly a unique place, and the thing is they're becoming increasingly more rare, so it's nice to that some of them are still around.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Woo! You know, of course, that the song that got the attention, not only because this is the first or second listens to Blues for Night People, when I heard Concerto de Aranjuez. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but the music was overpowering. And I have another song here that I want to play. I don't care. I'm just going to play all four songs in the show because we have another hour after this. But you want to say why this glorious 8-minute track is something that you chose for the CD?
I'm so glad that you liked it. The Concierto de Aranjuez is...
look at you!
It was Joaquin Rodrigo, and it's probably one of the best recognized, if not one of the best known or best loved pieces of classical guitar literature. And it's a 20th century piece of music. It was written in the 1940s, I believe. Rodrigo was a blind piano player and a wonderful, wonderful composer. He wrote a lot of really, really wonderful work, and this is definitely his best known piece. And you'll hear elements of it in lots of different pieces of music. What we tackled here is the main theme from the Adagio movement, which is the second movement. And it's interesting, Miles Davis kind of made this piece part of jazz awareness, so to speak, when he did that Sketches of Spain album in 1960.
Yes.
Gil Evans arranged it, and Miles played it, and did a very nice job with it. One thing really interesting that I just found out is, so Miles was on Columbia. Charlie Byrd was on Columbia at the time. He had, and they both had the same producer, Tio Macero, with their producer, an A&R guy. And Tio had suggested to Charlie, apparently Miles wanted Charlie to play on that record. And Tio had mentioned to Charlie, hey, you should call this guy and work this out. And for some reason or other that I don't know, Charlie never called him back.
Oh!
So he wasn't on the record.
Oh!
But Miles introduced it to the kind of the jazz awareness. And, of course, Chick Corea used it as the introduction and most likely the inspiration for his, seminal composition, Spain,
mm-hmm.
and that he did with Return to Forever. And so it's, the piece works in the jazz idiom, and it's not completely foreign. I don't know that Charlie ever recorded the tune, to be honest, but it just seemed like something that he should have done or would have liked, and it with the whole hybrid thing going on, it was something I wanted to do. The reason that I started ever thinking about playing it to begin with was long before we made this record. I heard a wonderful recording of Monty Alexander doing something similar with it, with his trio. He took it a completely different direction, but a similar approach with the trio and doing the theme and so forth. And I just love it. I mean, talk about a reverie. Talk about a tune with a mood and a character to it.
Oh, my,
so,
yes.
I hope we did some justice to it. I gave Tommy the oboe part. And I played the guitar as if we were doing it with the orchestra. The very beginning of it, I played the guitar part as written, and I gave Tommy the oboe part. And then, he switches and he plays, and then I start playing the guitar part, only modified a little, puts more harmony in it because there's no orchestra. And he gave me a hard time about it. He goes, this isn't supposed to be played on the bass. I played anyway. And, so of course, he plays his ass off. I mean, Tommy plays the hell out of this thing. But, he's always worried about the group effort. So it's I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm running my mouth here. I need to just stop talking. But that's where it came from.
It is a pleasure to know someone who is totally aware of the direction that he wants to take and has done the research, knows the respect, feels the respect, and then turns out something like this. Trust me. And look, we have to make mention that Becky Byrd was thrilled that you did this.
Yeah, we played it on a gig. Like I said, I had started messing around with the tune. And so we played it on a gig. And she says, oh, you're putting that on the record, right? And so I was thinking about it, but I had to decide, you have to put that on the record. Okay. So that's how that happened.
She is a trip. Oh, my gosh. Well, look, I know it's an 8-minute song, and I know that you've been on here for an hour, so I will let you go. But once again, let us tell folks that if you want to find out the particulars of where Nate might be playing in your area, natenajar.com, and know that he's coming to the Mainstay in Rock Hall in Maryland this coming Saturday. You don't want to miss that CD release party. Nate, you are really amazing.
Trish, you are really amazing, and I'm really grateful that you you included me.
Oh, look, anytime you just want to hang out, you got a little time, you're in Florida, you're lazing about, rubbing suntan oil on your shoulders, you want to give me a call, you're always welcome to call.
I appreciate that. Don't threaten me, though. I might take you up on that.
No, it's not a threat. It's a promise. But you have to say the title of the song one more time because I like it rolling off your tongue.
It's the Concierto de Aranjuez.
Woo! I love that. Nate Najar, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you this Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much, Trish.
Thank you, Nate.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my gosh, such a pleasure. And speaking of pleasures, just wait until you hear this. This is 8 minutes worth of ear bliss. Trust me, on Hyper Jazz. Thank you.
be very nice. Someone to love me right, that will be very nice. Someone to understand each little dream in me. Someone to take my hand, to be a team with me. So nice, life will be so nice if one day I'd find someone who would take my hand and stumble through life with me. Someone to cling to me, be with me right or wrong. Someone to sing to me some little song. Someone to take my heart and give his heart to me. Someone who's ready to keep love aside with me. Oh yeah, that will be so nice. Should it be you and me? I do see that would be nice. Se viu só que amor não cabe coisa assim. Passou nem mal, mas olhou só pra mim. Se voltar, vou atrás, vou pedir, vou falar. Vou contar que o amor foi feitinho pra dar. Olha, é como o verão, rende o coração. Salta de repente para ver o menino que vem. Tem que ser, nunca tem quem amar. Hoje sim, diz que sim, já cansei de esperar. Nem parei, nem dormi, só pensando em lidar. É, mas você não vê. Bem, deixa então, falo só, digo ao céu, mas você.
Nice.
nice. Actually, the response to the tune and the name of the song. Eliana Elias, oh my gosh, from 2004, and Dreamer, a song that has been associated with Astrud Gilberto, but once it comes out of the mouth of Eliana, it just becomes her song. So cute. About a month or so ago, T's dad, who has been involved in rock groups through the years and actually is a singer and quite good, has not necessarily been following jazz and knows a lot about music, but not necessarily everything. Well, he was watching on television one of these fundraisers for public TV. And he was all excited. He came to me and said, "Oh, I got to tell you about this female singer that I saw. Oh, my God, I'm in love." We remain good friends, so he can talk to me like this. He said, she's Brazilian, I think, and she's blonde. She's beautiful. She plays the piano. I said, "Would that be Eliana Elias?" "Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but that's her." Woo, he was just so terribly smitten, as is the case with so many who see her in person. And I understand from looking at her website that she's going to be doing a string of dates at Birdland in May. Now, here's the situation. First of all, it's her birthday coming up on March 19th. We're into March, so we could talk about birthdays. I know that she'll be celebrating not only her birthday, but the success of her daughter, Eliana, and the great Randy Brecker had a daughter, Amanda. Amanda Elias Brecker has a new album out called Blossom, and it's getting some big buzz. Just an intriguing gal who looks a lot like mom, and heard a couple of tracks and different kind of voice entirely. Multilingual, Amanda is, so I haven't heard the whole album to know if she sings in Portuguese or French or whatever, but I'm going to investigate. It's so nice to hear that offspring are following in their parents' footsteps. I love it. Eliana right there, and we heard, yes, we did, right after we heard Nate Najjar and his exquisite 8-minute track from Blues for Night People, we heard his inspiration, Charlie Byrd, and How Insensitive, from the Bossa Nova years. Ken Peplowski on clarinet and tenor sax, Chuck Redd on drums, and Chuck Redd is also with Nate Najjar on Blues for Night People. So you see how the family stays together? I love it. Also on that, Dennis Irwin on bass and Michael Spiro on piano. Just beautiful, beautiful stuff on Concord Picante. And you can see where Nate has picked up his love of that nylon string guitar. When you hear Charlie Byrd do what he did so well, so many works through the years. Charlie, this was released in 1991. Charlie passed away, I believe, in 1999. We miss him so much in Maryland. Oh, my gosh. The stories that you hear about Charlie Byrd, oh, what a great guy he was. And very in love with the whole concept of how he can make guitar more accessible to people. Just played like there was no tomorrow. Joie de vivre is what I'm thinking of when I think of him. We're going to turn the tables just a little bit right now because I promised you that we were going to do some Philly and D.C. and Baltimore soul, a different sort of slant on things. And since we're talking about birthdays, Larry Carlton just celebrated his 65th on the 2nd. And I wanted to make sure that we did a little homage to him, but also to Philadelphia, because this is from Larry Carlton Plays the Sound of Philadelphia from 2010. So you can imagine what's coming up, right? Maybe a little bit, maybe. If you were paying attention to the show a little bit earlier, you two. This is Larry Carlton's take on Backstabbers on Hybrid Jazz. forward to playing that. Tracy Hamlin, Get Out of Town. Oh, just love it. Yeah, that's why we call the show Hybrid, okay? Oh, look, you know I am a complete jazz head. But sometimes you just have to mix stuff up a little bit, especially when you're showing off your hometown. There's the hometown girl right there who has made international headlines. And man, is she making it with this song. This is crazy. And actually, the name of the song is Drive Me Crazy. Tracy Hamlin, that song came out in the later part of 2012. Now, we have been focusing on Washington, D.C. an awful lot today because Nate Najjar pays tribute to Charlie Byrd, who was a mainstay in the D.C. area. So here is more of this talk of D.C. because house music is so popular still in this region. God rest you, Chuck Brown. We miss you so much. And usually with house music, I am told, Tracy told me this, it has a shelf life of, say, a few weeks or so. Okay. But over in Europe, this particular song is really making some inroads. It has been top of the charts 4 times, number one in sales. Europe, Asia, South Africa, amazing. This is a particular remix done by Baltimore's own DJ Spin and Irv Madden, whose bass work you heard on that song. Irv is legendary in these parts, and so is DJ Spin. So they got a hold of this, and they just did it so right. This 80s vibe is so big in Europe, and it just fell into Tracy's lap. So you just collect your money, honey, and we'll see you at dinner next week. It's really getting to be cool because Tracy, Debbie Poole, Anita King, and our friend Cecilia, we all get together now for girls' nights. So next time around is the Ides of March, March 15th. Looking forward to it. Tracy Hamlin, Drive Me Crazy. Woo, love it. Sound of Philadelphia, T-S-O-P, the name of the group, MFSB, which stands for Mother, Father, Sister, Brother. I can tell you this with some authority because I lived through those times. Matter of fact, going to Temple University and even before Temple in Philly, I would head to the train at the Fox Chase station or the Jenkintown station, ride into Philly, and I would pass Sigma Sound Studios, and they were making these records, the OJs, Spinners, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Delphonics, Intruders, 3 Degrees, who you heard at the tail end of TSOP. And here's the story. MFSB was more than 30 musicians, studio musicians, that the production team of Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff and producer-arranger Tom Bell got together. And they would play on all of these tunes with the artists that I just mentioned. So in 1972, they began to record as a name act, MFSB. Kenny Gamble believed that since there was such variety in the group of musicians that he had, he wanted to show unity, mother, father, sister, brother. We are all one. So 1974, they created this song, and you know that it's the Soul Train theme song. It made a lot of money for a lot of people, and God bless every single person part of that Philly International record label. Man, they were good times. Yes, sir. We heard Larry Carlton, who knows a good thing when he heard it, because he did a bunch of Philly International songs on his album, Larry Carlton Plays the Sound of Philadelphia. Included on that album, by the way, was Paul Schaefer of The Letterman Show, just adding his touch of class to that particular track and so many others, Backstabbers. Larry Carlton, happy birthday to you, Larry, playing at the B.B. King Blues Club in April. having a lot to celebrate in April. It's my son's 21st birthday on the 4th, and I'm excited about that. I'm not sure he is, but I am. It's about 20 more minutes till the show, and I wanted to play a few more tunes for you. And, man, we're eclectic today. We really are. So I thought I would play this. This is a group that is still in existence. What they do is they take, and this is what it says on their website in German, by the way, they take tango, valse, musette, flamenco, lovely, what do they call it? De-dusted film music and almost faded Italian music, and they make it into their own. It's certainly what you would call loosely jazz. It's very cool. This was back in 2006. Quadro Nuevo is the name of the group. The song is Milanga Tati from Tango Bittersweet on Hybrid Jazz. Oh, do enjoy this. Dum dum dum.
little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy.
Happy.
I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry. Be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Now there is this song I wrote. I hope you learned it note for note like good little children. Don't worry,
be happy. Listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. But don't worry, be happy. Be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry,
it will soon pass, whatever it is.
Don't worry, be happy.
I'm not worried.
It will pass, whatever it is. Bobby McFerrin, oh my God, just a genius. You know, we all know him singing the song. I mean, it triple platinum and best song, best record, best pop vocal from the Grammys back in 1988, 89, whenever that was. But he's just so much more than that. Hopefully you know that. A multi-phonic singer, multi-talented conductor who has done life-changing workshops and has been featured on HBO recently. And there's a little quote that has been ascribed to Bobby. He says, improvisation can be dangerous. And he knows. He is just so revered in so many circles. He's celebrating his birthday on the 11th of March. And hopefully I can get more stuff so you can hear the length and breadth of his talent. He's been doing this for so many years now and is just one of those beautiful people that you want to be around. There is an absolute wealth of serenity in him. And when he teaches, it's as if no teacher has ever taught before him. I've just heard so many stories of people who have been in his presence. He's conducted workshops or he's been in a situation where he's actually in concert and has had group participation in the audience and people walk away as if a miracle has happened. He's just that kind of person. Amazing. 10-time Grammy winner, Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. And it's just one of those cool things. We were alluded to this before with Amanda, the daughter of Eliana Elias and Randy Brecker. She is carrying that torch. Bobby McFerrin is the son of singers. Mom and dad both were. Dad, the operatic singer, baritone Robert McFerrin. So the apple does not fall from the tree. Ooh, Lord. So we also heard, what else did we hear? My gosh. I have to go back now because everything is different. I had to change everything around. Cuadro Nuevo, we heard, which is so weird because they borrowed heavily from Astor Piazzolla, who was the Charlie Parker of tango when they decided to do the music that they did. And then they wanted to incorporate Brazil and France and Italian folk, and they're a German group. So we have a little League of Nations, and we certainly have a hybrid group going on here. The name of the track, Milango Tati from Tango Bittersweet, Cuadro Nuevo. Their website is in German. If you can read, fabulous. And by the way, the Bobby McFerrin song was especially for the G-Man. He's eating breakfast in California right now. G-Man, thanks for being there this morning, this afternoon for us in Baltimore. We have to decide now on one song to play. Didn't anticipate all the calls coming in for the first hour. This is First Tuesday, and I'm so grateful to everyone who called. Delightful surprises in the midst of them. Oh, very, very nice. And thanks to Nate Najar. I want to play this song for you just because I can't get the song out of my head. You know how some artists come to mind for whatever reason. This artist came to mind because when I think of this song, I think of someone that I had been in love with who played piano. And there is no song like this to capture the spirit of that kind of being in love when you have that longing. We were talking about that with Nate. For whatever reason, this woman captured that kind of feeling. And she's just extraordinary. And I'm hoping that she can join us on the show. I'm not sure if that's going to be. You never know if someone is going to do that. But at least there is some lines of communication open with this particular artist. And without further ado, I give you the amazing Brenda Russell, Piano in the Dark on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate you no end. God bless. We'll see you on Thursday on Hybrid Jazz.